Up next is Dr. O'Keefe with Council Planning.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I just want to echo the thanks to Dr. Ford, Dr. Mercer, and Mr. Chase, as well as Dr. Hare for having staff come, especially Dr. Ford in person here to present the survey update. That's appreciated. I also wanted to just quickly follow up on the Groundfish Committee request for an update on the Portside Biological Sampling Program. KB McArdle will be giving an update at our June meeting, so we will get an update on that. So quickly on council planning, next slide, please. So I've updated the format of this presentation a little bit to try to bookend the council meetings between my executive director report at the beginning and this planning at the end, using that new format that Mr. Perros put together on management timelines. We've got some, with these presentations now will also include some brief updates on topics that were not included in the actual agenda. So committees that did not have a report on this agenda and other topics where activities have occurred, but we didn't bring a full update to the council. We'll also have a preview of the upcoming June meeting and just a quick summary of upcoming activities. Next slide. So scallops, there were some questions and possible concern that there wasn't a lot of activity going on. That's not the case at all. The PDT has met twice. They met in February and recently on April 7th to begin development of management measures for the Northern Gulf of Maine sub areas and regional days at sea allocations. Scallop AP and committee will meet on June 2nd and 3rd respectively, excuse me, to discuss the 2027 management measures, RSA priorities, and strategic plan updates. The council recently executed a contract with the University of Massachusetts to begin development of new projection methods. There will be an update on this topic in June. And there's some upcoming events. The International Pectinid Workshop, that is an international workshop focused on scallops, so all different types of species of scallops and people from around the world. That's being held in New Bedford. Just in a couple of weeks, and the RSA Share Day is scheduled for early May. And I just wanted to add a couple more notes that, as mentioned in Mr. Pentney's report yesterday, the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery was opened on time under Framework 40. We're grateful to the agency for getting the rule in place on time. The set-aside was fully harvested, and the area closed on the 13th. Some notes from staff. The fishery saw 180 unique vessels active in the area. And we had some comments yesterday during the public comment period that observations of scallops in more areas than recent past, wider distribution than just the concentration on Stellwagen Bank. Next slide, please. So whiting, again, not a full update to the council, but whiting activity has been going on. The PDT met on March 3rd and 25th to begin development of management measures, consider available information to support updated specifications. We'll be setting specs later this fall. The PDT and AP just recently met on April 1st jointly for a data workshop to discuss fishery performance, consider available data. A few more notes on that. Really, the purpose was to identify and summarize recent fishery performance and issues, discuss preliminary analysis on the small mesh fishery in preparation for this year's management action, and start thinking about status and potential application of the council's risk policy to set these upcoming specs. The committee will meet in May on the 19th to consider the outcomes from the data workshop and begin formulating draft alternatives for specifications and other management measures. The council will receive an update on whiting at the June meeting. Next slide. For habitat, as noted under my executive director report, the 2025 EFH framework was submitted to the regional office just late last week. We anticipate the review process to take approximately 1 month. This was a little bit later submission than we had originally anticipated, but the benefit of it is that we have worked through several of the model outputs and formatting that will also be applied in the 2026 EFH action. So a little slower on submitting the 2025 action, but will really benefit the pace at which we can complete and submit the 2026 action. The plan development team met earlier this month to review the EFH designation maps and related model outputs for the 2026 EFH action. That will include the remaining groundfish species that were not included in the 2025 action, small mesh species, as well as some of the data poor ground fish species that were not included, and also scallops. Right now, the PDT has been working through reviewing the species distribution modeling specific to scallops. The PDT also had a discussion about the Great South Channel habitat management area and the evaluation of the clam exemption areas that the council prioritized this year. Next slide. For climate and ecosystem, the steering committee met on March 27th. It was a full day meeting. There was a lot of materials. The link is there if you want to review some of the information that they talked about. Really, it was focused on species distribution models that have been developed by Dr. Chris Hake from Monmouth University, ecosystem component species evaluation that's under development by Angelia Miller of Maris Collaborative. This is one of our IRA initiatives, and we are anticipating a presentation on this topic in June. Also, the committee talked about on-ramps for climate and ecosystem information and discussed the Science Center's 2026 State of the Ecosystem Report. Next slide. And final one of these updates, the vessel baseline evaluation, which the council prioritized to initiate this year. This is part of our Executive Order 14276 response. the working group has been established, including staff from the regional office and both councils. The working group is seeking advisory panel input to inform the evaluation, and they've planned three AP meetings in late May. So this will be the advisors from the entire Greater Atlantic region. So New England and Mid-Atlantic advisors are being solicited for input on this topic. At these meetings, the council staff will provide background information on the vessel baseline restrictions, vessel data information that they have, and then some prompt questions for consideration. The advisors will then have an opportunity for comment, and public comment will also be accepted. And the council will receive an update on the evaluation in June with an anticipation of completing the evaluation for presentation in September. Next slide. So just revisiting these management timeline tables again and just confirming that what we did in April and what we're looking for in June, won't go through every line, but try to highlight some of the more important topics. Risk policy, I think we had a couple of excellent presentations, a lot of good discussion, a few things that we can walk away with, and the risk policy working group can clarify and complete. And we are looking to take action on the risk policy and approve the risk policy at our next meeting. For the holistic strategic plan, we had a good report and completed the draft strategic plan part of it. In June, we will check in on development of the implementation plan, and that we're looking to have a finalized strategic plan and implementation plan in September for then application to priority setting in December. Next slide. For groundfish, I wanted to note that Framework 68, which is the ABC control rule, we have a planned update in June, and we had targeted completion of that action in September. Just want to note that that timeline may shift. The risk policy, obviously, yes, is a component of it. It would be a risk policy integrated control rule. We don't want to get ahead of the council on their approval of the risk policy, which isn't until June. So we may need more time to have robust development of the control rule. It kind of depends on the various types of options and alternatives that are included for consideration. And as Dr. Roger Brothers mentioned, the UMaine team is continuing to work. They will be doing the simulation testing around the different control rule alternatives. Next slide. Just wanted to note that we did have a change in priorities yesterday. We removed the priority to scope for a monkfish and skatewing IFQ program and approved moving forward with the listening sessions. There was a press release that came out this morning announcing that change, and the meetings are scheduled and will begin in just about 10 days. Next slide. And here's a preview for what we'll be doing in June. We have several updates again, but we don't really have any reviews scheduled for June. We will have reports on the Groundfish Amendment 23 review. We will get a report from the monkfish and skate listening sessions. And then we have several actions to initiate, including specifications and other measures for groundfish, small mesh, scallop, and herring. And as mentioned, we will take final action on the risk policy. We will also conduct the weighting activity. The council will be doing the risk policy weighting of the five factors. And final slide, please. And just a couple of upcoming activities between now and the June meeting. The U.S.-Canada transboundary management process will get underway. We will have a TMGC intersessional meeting the first week of May, followed by a U.S.-Canada Steering Committee meeting on May 13th. The CCC meeting is taking place in Homer, Alaska on May 19th through 21st. Myself, the chair and vice chair will be attending, as well as the assistant regional administrator. The NRCC is meeting in Providence at the end of May. The SSC is having a workshop related to dynamic reference points in Boston. That's an IRA initiative in early June. And I wanted to highlight that the council and Garfo staff are having what we're calling a staff-to-staff event in Gloucester on June 4th. This is a way to check in with each other, catch up on changes, things like NEPA and different procedural elements, but also just continue some team building and networking. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that. Any questions for Dr. O'Keefe on where we're going for the next 6-7 months? Seeing none, thank you very much for that. Last order of business is other business. I have two topics. For the first one, I will go to Dr. Hare.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to announce that the Northeast Fisheries Science Center will be holding a remembrance ceremony for Jada Samet and the other 6 lives that were lost on the fishing vessel Lily Jean on May 14th. I'm going to, at the end of this meeting, forward the invitation to Executive Director Dr. O'Keefe and Mr. Salerno, and they can share it with all of you. But it was a tragic event. And the Science Center will be glad to remember it with anyone who wants to join us. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Up next, Mr. Lucy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. In light of the extensive comments we received yesterday regarding the accountability measures with the window pane, I'd like to offer a motion.
Staff will get that up on the board. When you're ready.
I'll read it into the record. Thank you. That the council included in the groundfish action to be initiated in June, framework 74, an alternative to modify the southern windowpane flounder accountability measure trigger so that the criteria for determining a reduction in the size of the accountability measure implemented is the stock being rebuilt, i.e., when the stock is rebuilt, only the small accountability measure area is applied to that situation. For both the groundfish fishery and large mesh non-groundfish fisheries.
Thank you. Looking for a second. I see, he's not there anymore, but I see Mr. Oshevsky seconded the motion. Rationale, Mr. Lucy?
Yes, thank you. Since the fiscal year 2024 catch accounting was published, that triggered the process to enact this accountability measure that we're faced with today, the large version of it, for the southern window pane. We heard a lot of concerns about this, both from the fishing industry and also from shoreside processors and other associated businesses with that, and it affects multiple fisheries from lobster bait to the flukers coming up in the springtime. So this large accountability measure will have a very detrimental financial impact that was obviously heard, and this was a tough winter. We heard it was a dangerous winter and also a lean winter. So the gear requirements when this accountability measure is put into place are not the traditional gear. They're not going to function to catch the skate and the flatfish, the three versions that are required to be used in these areas. So this motion is looking to explore potential modifications to the initial diagnostic that NOAA Fishery uses to determine the size of the accountability measure. This regulated area. This would not remove the accountability measure altogether, but could allow for a more efficient way to reduce the size of the necessary area to account for the southern window pane overages. This motion will provide a significant measure of relief by opening up more historical fishing grounds to the southern New England fleet. We are aware that this motion and the subsequent action was not directly on the list of the 2026 groundfish priorities, but it has been explained that it does fit within other management measures within Framework 74. However, this motion does provide a bridge between the current and future plan priority work that's highlighted in IRA project number 3, which is the ecosystem components and which Southern Windowpane is a candidate for, and also the executive order 14276, which includes revisions to reactive accountability measures. So this directly relates to that. Doing this work that this motion is suggesting in Framework 74 will not solve the issue that is before us for May 1st, but it will make something available for us on May 1st. It'll be available next year in 2027 if that goes forward. But this motion could make something that could be incorporated much sooner than that to deal with this fishing season. So what we would like to do is hope that NOAA Fisheries will take this potential work, as well as all the public comments that we heard regarding this issue, into consideration as they move forward with the implementation of the current accountability measure posting.
Thank you, Mr. Lucey. Anything to add, Mr. Oshefsky?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure I can add much to that. Very great job, Bill. Just I think, you know, the bottom line, we did hear from the industry of the impacts of these AMs, and anything that, you know, the council and the agency can do to, as Bill said, to kind of move forward with the implementation is greatly appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you. I will open up to questions, comments on the motion. Ms. Griffin.
Thank you, Chair, and I strongly support this motion. I thank the maker for putting this forward, and hopefully that this will be a successful collaboration. Definitely recognize we have a bigger discussion ahead with Southern Windowpane, but I think this does what we can do right now, given our legal and timeline constraints. So thank you again, and I definitely support this.
Thank you for that. Up next, Ms. Ware, and then Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you. Yeah, very much in support of this. I thought we heard very compelling testimony yesterday about the impacts of this, so I'm glad we were able to try and navigate a solution here for the Southern New England fleet. I will foreshadow that I think we have a growing halibut crisis on that AM, and so I am hopeful for the same level of collaboration and solution building as that crisis emerges. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm in full support of this motion as well. Southern Windowpane is rebuilt. It's not a commercially harvested stock. It's just completely unnecessary that we would have this kind of potential economic impact for a stock like this. We've been talking about this actually as a council for many years now about Southern Windowpane and this issue, and I hope that with our council priorities we can have a bigger discussion about what to do with accountability measures for stock like this, go to ecosystem components. I mean, there's a lot that we can do creatively so that we don't get to places like this where we have to have these discussions. But I'm in full support and really appreciate the comments that we got from industry yesterday during the public comment opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I strongly support this. I just have one question for the maker. There was significant comments about the fact that the existing wind turbine areas are basically closure areas, since the one cannot fish within those areas, and they've been historical grounds for this fishery. Does this include also in taking that into consideration as a potential for closure?
Thank you for the question. I've heard those similar points made from several others, but I think the intent of this motion is simply to direct NOAA to look at what the options are available, and those discussions, I think, will be better taken up during our larger discussion that we're looking for in IRA number 3. I think it would be a good topic to remember. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any further questions from around the table? Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to speak in favor of the motion as well. I think people have already said many of the things I wanted to say, but one thing I'd like to add is that in the rationale, there was mention of consistency with the IRA projects and the ecosystem component analysis, which I agree with. I think it's also consistent with the conversations we had around the risk policy yesterday and trying to do a better job of balancing conservation needs of our species and needs of the fishing communities that depend on them. So I think that's just another thing to consider in support of this motion. Thank you.
Just to be clear, Jeff, I think you refer to the risk value matrix, not the risk policy.
Well, I think it's both, because I think the risk policy also does try to address that as well. So,
okay. Thank you. I just
see all of the above.
There you go. Anything associated with risk. Mr. Ehrstad and then Mr. Rule.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am in favor of the motion for a lot of the reasons stated. I'd like to specifically acknowledge the comments of Ms. O'Dell speaking about the future and longer, you know, basically trying to do what we can moving forward to avoid getting here again with these species and others. I think that's really good advice, and I know we're all, with the various initiatives we're undertaking, trying to be more nimble and flexible, and that's a really good thing. It can be difficult, but I really appreciate all of the efforts by my colleagues on the council as well as at the agency to try to do that. So again, I'll hearken back quickly to the planning workshop we had in Boston. We had a lot of positive energy and don't always have that here because we deal with a whole lot of stuff and can't always put our planning hats on. We're responding to the crisis of the moment. So here's an opportunity for us to step up, and I think we can do that. And again, kudos to everybody around the table for listening to the comments we heard from industry yesterday and from elected officials. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ehrstad. Mr. Rule.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to offer the MID support for this motion. Realize we don't have a vote here, but this does have an impact to a lot of constituents in the Mid-Atlantic. I've been in discussions with our director, and if any staff support is needed, he's happy to offer that up. So any way we can help out.
Thank you for that. I'm sure we'll be taking the MID up on that one. I will go out to the public. I see a hand in the room. I assume that's Mr. Martens again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ben Martens with the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association. I just want to express support for this motion and also just thank the council for constantly stepping up. It seems as though more and more of your job is responding to fires and helping put them out, and whether that's hake or haddock, windowpane. It sounds like we might have something coming up with halibut in short order as well. It's really helpful from the fishermen that are dealing with a lot of uncertainty when it comes to what this year, what next year, what the next 2 years are going to look like in these fisheries. So thank you again, and allocating resources to help keep these guys on the water. It's really, it's great to see the response when fishermen show up and ask for help and support, and you guys immediately respond. So we support this. Hope you move it forward.
Thank you, Mr. Martens. I see online Peter Hughes. We will unmute you. You're unmuted on our end.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everybody. So I have two questions, and one of them you may have already discussed, and that is, was the risk value matrix utilized in this decision making? I fully support the motion. Let me get that first. But was the risk value matrix utilized when making these decisions? Do we have a way to run the risk value model yet? That's kind of one of my questions.
Dr. O'Keefe?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Hughes. Thanks for the question. No, I think is the short answer to that. The risk value matrix is still in development, so we haven't put anything actually kind of through that process yet. I would say that on a different process, which was mentioned in the rationale, through one of our IRA initiatives, we have been developing a framework to evaluate potential ecosystem component stocks. Southern Windowpane, Ocean Pout are both within that that range of stocks that we're considering. That will take an amendment to the groundfish plan to potentially change characterization of stocks or remove stocks from the plan. So that's not something that we could do at kind of a rapid pace on this issue. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. O'Keefe. And my second question is, you know, in looking at the letter that NIMS provided the council on March 23rd, the state waters fisheries are very concerning to me, considering that the southern windowpane flounder in state waters was 357.8% of the catch and ocean pout was 625% of the catch. I'm concerned because, you know, I think this is a real state waters issue, but we're taking federal action that's going to negatively and adversely affect our commercial fishing fleets. So just wondering how the state waters components are taken into consideration.
I'm looking around the table. I'm not sure we have an answer for you on that one. Obviously, when we talk about the state water component, there are federal boats that may be fishing in the state waters. This would obviously be restricting them. But I will turn to a state partner here next to me, Ms. Griffin.
I'm not going to be responding as a state partner, really, but just to point out that I think Ms. O'Dell and I had a conversation. I don't remember if it was the first day or second day, pointing out, you know, it's important to look not just at the percentages, but at the actual tonnage. And I think that tells maybe a different story.
Thanks for that, Melanie.
I just want to apologize that I couldn't be there in person. So thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Back to the folks around the table here. Seeing none, I'm going to go on a show of hands. Please raise your hand if you are in favor of the motion and hold them up while I get a count. Those opposed? No abstentions? The motion will pass 17-0-0 on a show of hands. Look to the council for any further other business. Seeing none, I think we'll get out of here in time so we don't have to listen to the fire drills. Thank you very much all again for coming to Portland. I know it's been a few years since we've been here. I hope you got the opportunity to enjoy the sights and sounds and the flavors of Portland. We will be meeting back again in Mystic, Connecticut for June for Mr. Pappalardo's 100th council meeting. See you then. Thank you.